follow Elizabeth on Twitter, keyword Doherty Report, and visit thedohertyreport.com for news updates, show highlights, podcasts, commentaries, and a whole lot more. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
Right now we're talking with Dr. Brian Hooker. He's a gentleman that spoke with the CDC whistleblower about the MMR vaccine. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you so much for having me, Elizabeth. It's a pleasure.
Well, it's our pleasure also. The reason we wanted to talk with you is we are getting so much blowback in the media in general that's very one-sided, and we believe there are two sides to every issue. We're covering both sides of them on the program, and we want to know, in your conversation with the CDC whistleblower, what he said about the safety of the MMR vaccine.
Well, specifically, what Dr. Thompson, this is the CDC whistleblower, Dr. William Thompson, he is an epidemiologist with the CDC, and he has been there for now 16 years. And what he revealed to me was that in a study that where he was the chief statistician, this was a study that was published back in 2004 in the journal Pediatrics, that they saw a strong association between the timing of the MMR vaccine and the incidence of autism, specifically in African-American males. And what they saw was that when the African-American males were getting the MMR vaccine on time, they were at least three times as likely, if not more, to receive an autism diagnosis versus those individuals where they waited on the MMR vaccine until the individuals were at least 3 years of age.
And I believe that's what they used to do in Japan. In fact, I think it was 4 years old in Japan, but I'm not sure. I think it's changed since then, so I'd have to go back and look. Does this have to do with only the age or also the load of vaccines all at the same time?
It was very difficult to tell from the study. One of the things that is interesting about this study was it was a group of individuals that was examined who were born between the years 1986 and 1993. And the vaccination schedule was much less onerous. There were much fewer vaccines in the schedule in that particular time period than what we have now. However, you know, saying that, we were not able to look at just the effects of the MMR. We couldn't, you know, there's some statistical techniques that we could have used in order to factor out some of the influences of the other vaccines. But given this particular data set, it was difficult to do.
Sure.
My own recommendation and my own, you know, my own contention is that the biggest issue that we were looking at in this particular instance was the timing of the MMR vaccine and the fact that they were using the MMR as a live virus vaccine, and they were introducing a live virus vaccine into very, very young individuals.
The whistleblower, what was he whistleblowing about specifically?
Well, when he found this result, and he embarked upon this study in September of 2001, and he found this result very, very early in November of 2001, and he went to his collaborators, three of which were his superiors at the CDC, and he showed him this particular result. And what the CDC officials told him back, he said, was one of the most chilling and telling things that he had ever heard of his entire career. And unfortunately, he would never reveal to me what was said and who said it, but he was essentially told that he would cover up that information and that he would use a dubious statistical technique in order to dilute the relationship. And in the final paper that was published, the actual result never got out. People were never warned. And nobody ever went back and further investigated that effect. You know, an effect for a strong race and gender category, an effect like that, at a minimum, needs to be examined further to be able to confirm the effect, to understand physiologically what's going on, and to determine, yes, is it MMR, is it a combination of reactions? But the CDC, instead of doing any of that, chose to cover up this particular study and committed fraud. And that's what the whistleblower was telling me.
It seems scary in itself. I mean, I don't know what the chilling thing was that they said to this man, but a race-specific, gender-specific category that puts them at, what you said, three times the risk?
That is correct.
I wonder what that translates into on a 100 children who were race and gender specific.
It's difficult to say on a race and gender basis, you know, what that would mean. the current rate of autism in the United States is about 1 in 68 children.
How many?
1 in 68. 1 in 68 children. According to even the CDC's results, 1 in 68 children have been diagnosed with autism.
Now, this has skyrocketed since the last time I looked at this statistic.
You are correct. It is the rate of autism is going through the roof, and I think that it is no coincidence that also the number of vaccines that children receive before their sixth birthday has also skyrocketed.
Now, there are other things that have been said about these vaccines in other countries, and we're talking with different people about fertility rates and things like that. But as far as autism goes, do you know how the MMR schedule works right now?
Yes, I do. In the current vaccination schedule, which was recommended between 2014 and 2015, the CDC recommends that a child receive one MMR vaccine at about approximately 12 months of age, and then receives a booster shot somewhere between 4 and 6 years of age. What happened with the current, the measles scare, which I believe is sort of a PR campaign for large pharmaceutical companies and not really a scare, but the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, which advises the CDC on the immunization schedule, has now moved the first MMR shot to as early as 6 months of age. They're saying that children that are 6 months of age or older can receive their first MMR shot, and they're actually recommending it for younger children. And I'm very, very scared about this particular recommendation, especially in light of the data that I've analyzed. Not only did the whistleblower reveal this to me, but I was able to obtain the data set on my own and affirm what he was saying to me. And so what we're doing is we're pushing the vaccine back further and giving it to younger children who should not be exposed to live virus vaccines. And I believe that, at a minimum, this is unstudied. And at worst, we have data that shows that it is related to increases in autism.
Based upon the data that you've seen, do you think that pediatricians who are recommending a lesser portion of the vaccine, in other words, spreading it out into smaller increments, do you think that's of any help or not?
I would imagine that being able to decrease the toxic load by introducing these vaccines at a slower rate would be much better. I'm not a medical professional. I'm not a healthcare professional.
Right. You analyze data. And what is your doctorate in?
My doctorate's in biochemical engineering.
Okay.
And, with specialties in statistics and epidemiology.
Right.
But what I'm seeing from the data is that, when younger children are being exposed to vaccines and vaccine components, there are higher incidences of neurodevelopmental disabilities among other types of maladies, okay, mm-hmm. including things like allergies and asthma.
Because we've seen a big increase in asthma in children also.
That is correct. This is preliminary data, but absolutely. I think that there's a strong connection between, autoimmune disorders, allergic disorders, and neurological disorders. And when, at this point, and what the CDC whistleblower showed me and revealed to me is that the individuals that are supposed to be looking at the safety and efficacy of vaccines are not doing their job. So it's just a big question mark. We really don't know what is going to happen. And as a parent, it's not the type of thing that I would want to subject my child to.
Right now we're talking with Dr. Brian Hooker. He's a gentleman that spoke with the CDC whistleblower about the MMR vaccine. Now, most parents are reasonable people. It would seem to me that if they could prevent a disease in their child, they would do so as long as they felt they could do it safely. Do you think there's a way to develop a safer vaccine?
I think that there are many ways that vaccine safety could be increased, not only by developing safer vaccines, but also targeting and being able to identify individuals that are at higher risk for vaccine injury even before they get vaccinated. What we would call the more vulnerable child, who perhaps shouldn't be as vaccinated as aggressively as the rest of the population because they may be more prone to allergic reactions, autoimmune disorders, neurological disorders, and so forth. And, given the amount of medical information, we live in a post-genomic era. The human genome has been sequenced, and much is known about medicine, and much can be assessed very, very, in infants at very, very young age. before they are vaccinated. And I think that that's something that, because we have this one-size-fits-all vaccine schedule, because we have lots of pharmaceutical profits that are based on massive vaccination efforts in the United States, and because there's a liability shield where you cannot sue vaccine manufacturers, I think all of that is actually pushing away from safer vaccines and putting more children at risk.
It seems to me that if doctors really were serious about their oath, that they would take each child on a case-by-case basis and evaluate them before doing this. But it's hard for them to do that when they don't know any of this data. And you and I both know that a lot of these pharmaceutical companies are giving them trips to Hawaii, trips here and there. So it's hard to know how to proceed from here. What do you think people should do who have young children?
I think that they need to have frank conversations with their healthcare providers and ask the tough questions regarding vaccine side effects. I think that also that they should be reading the packet insert for any type of pharmaceutical product that they're considering for their consumption by their child.
That's great
or
advice.
For their own consumption.
Right.
And if they can't get the packet insert from the doctor, then they shouldn't be seeing that doctor. This information is readily available, and packet information gives a good risk-benefit profile.
Yep.
And before making any type of medical decision, there should be space between the appointment where you talk to your physician about a medical intervention and when the actual medical intervention is administered to your child, so the parents can digest the information and make informed decisions for themselves. And I believe, you know, I have been very blessed to have very, very good medical providers for my son. I have a 17-year-old son who was vaccine injured.
Wow.
And, you know, since his vaccine injury, we have had very, very good success in having very frank communication with our healthcare providers.
Mm-hmm.
But if a healthcare provider is pressuring somebody into a medical decision that they're not comfortable with, that's just an untenable scenario for the best protection for your own children.
I would say a couple of things about that. You know, we've seen incidents from talking to parents of healthcare providers reporting these parents to the respective state child protection services for not vaccinating their children. And we've also seen, when they try to get second opinions, them summarily taking the children. So this is a huge issue, not only the vaccinations itself, but an abuse of power. And I have to think that even if you can't sue the vaccine companies, you should be able to sue these medical providers for not doing their proper due diligence.
It is very difficult, you know, in this particular judicial environment to be able to sue a medical practitioner specifically around vaccination. The pressure around vaccination and vaccination procedures almost takes on a religious fervor. And I have heard these instances, not firsthand, but I have heard about instances where doctors are reporting or threatening to report non-vaccinating parents to CPS, you know, Child Protective Services. And that's indeed chilling. You know, this is not the type of relationship that we should have as parents who are the best experts in our children with our medical providers. This amounts to medical fascism.
I think what's going to happen is more and more parents will decline to take their children to doctors at all because they're afraid of what might happen if they ask questions.
I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, the healthcare providers that are providing options, that are listening to parents, that have practices that are looking at the entire child and the individual child before they take on medical procedures are going to be much more successful. And that's one of the reasons why I tell parents who are dissatisfied with the communications they're having with their medical providers to vote with their feet, because there are providers that are giving good care.
Well, in case you're just joining us, we've been talking with Dr. Brian Hooker. He is the person that spoke to the CDC whistleblower about the MMR vaccine and the data that was covered up. If you've missed any portion of this, you can go back and listen to our podcast on it if you've missed any of the broadcast. We thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Olivia.
Keep up with us during the week. Listen to show highlights and daily memos and more. Just follow Elizabeth on Twitter. Keyword Doherty Report.